Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Mental health and mental well-being was a top request from our Red Table Talk family. Joining us at the table today is Kid Cudi. When I heard that Cudi had been struggling with mental health issues, I related deeply because of having to deal with my own suicidal thoughts, my own depression. Kid Cudi is an award-winning hip-hop icon and an inspiration to millions.
Kid Cudi is one of the main dudes I listen to all the time. He saved my life.
You saved my life. I would have killed myself if I didn't have Kid Cudi. There's me. If you're 25 and under, I truly believe that Kid Cudi saved your life.
This usually very private star shocked his fans with a Facebook post revealing his struggle with anxiety, depression, and suicidal urges. Cudi shared, "It's time I fix me." Being that he's this hip-hop icon, a lot of people would think that he would be exempt from that kind of suffering. But he's not. None of us are. Here we are at the Red Table.
Yes.
Ladies, once again, today's subject matter is mental illness. I think there's such a stigma.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
definitely.
And I think also how we define it.
Yes. Yeah. I call it emotional illness.
Right.
You know, because mental illness can be a little extreme sometimes.
Do you think that emotional illness can cause mental disturbances?
Yes, 100%. Sometimes the chemicals are just, you know, just off.
That's a lot of what mental illness is.
Yeah. The root of it could be emotional instability. The root of it could be
hormonal imbalance.
I would say for me, I had an emotional breakdown that definitely I feel like affected my mental stability.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I had gotten to LA and gotten a certain amount of success and realized that that wasn't the answer, mm-hmm. that wasn't what was going to make everything okay. Actually, it made things worse. Mm. And I became extremely suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a complete emotional collapse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How old was I then? 20?
I guess.
I called Gam in a panic. It's like when you just don't have control
exactly.
over your emotions, your thoughts.
Right.
You feel completely and utterly out of control. And I don't even think at that particular point in time I understood what I was going through.
Yeah.
Now I know that it was what people would consider a nervous breakdown.
Nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely understood that.
I didn't know what was going on.
I understood it, but it was also a time where I really felt really powerless.
Right.
You know, like I
didn't know
really
what to do.
Right.
I didn't really
know what to do to help her. I know we needed professional help, mm-hmm. but yeah.
You cannot manage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment of the day, you're talking to yourself, trying to keep yourself on track.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
Like, trying to keep yourself sane. Trying to keep yourself from hurting yourself.
From hurting yourself, trying to keep yourself from other people realizing that something's wrong.
Yeah.
But they know something's wrong because every minute I was just bursting into tears
right.
and didn't know why.
Yeah.
You know.
And just trying to figure out how to deal with the pain that you're feeling
mm-hmm.
inside.
I don't know why I felt like for some reason once I became successful that I would be kind of like
exempt
from, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thinking, oh, all of my problems are going to go away now that, you know,
I'm successful.
Exactly.
I have money.
Exactly.
You know, I was in an environment for such a long time. I got stuck in a mentality that even with success, it was very hard for me to get out of.
What do you mean?
Meaning like not really being able to embrace the opportunity that I had. I was still holding on to the idea of deprivation
mm-hmm.
and loss
mm-hmm.
and having a lot of guilt and shame that came with my success. Like, you have to leave so many people behind, and that was depressing.
Right. How do you guys feel about, because, you know, this is always a big controversy, too, is adding medication.
For some people, it does help.
Yeah.
They put me on Prozac for
It was like 5 milligrams. But once it disrupted my sex drive, I said, look, that's the only thing I got in my life. I was like, that's the one thing at that particular point in time. And that was the thing that got me off of Prozac. They had put me on it to just get me to a place where I could talk about what was happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And that where you could function.
Where I could function. Yeah.
Like, get up in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You couldn't get up in the, like, you?
I was severely depressed.
Yeah.
Severely. And that was something that I battled with for years. Waking up in the morning was like the worst part of the day.
Yeah.
It's just like, huh.
Another
day. And then it would take me hours to just get into it. And so by the time, like, the evening time came, I was like, I was at least like, okay, I'm good. But then you go to sleep again and then...
then it just restarts.
Yeah. You gotta restart. And so then once I got off the Prozac, I went on a long, long, long journey.
Yeah.
I learned how to manage it to a certain degree, but it was a struggle.
Finding your own path in that is difficult too, because like we went through a couple of therapists.
Just therapy just didn't work
for
me. Yeah. And that's not to say that that's not a good path.
Exactly. For some people, medication does work. And for
Absolutely.
Some people, therapy does work.
Right.
So
not only does it work, but it's necessary.
It's necessary.
Medication, yeah.
So I just had to find my path, which is why it probably took as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now thankfully, I don't get depressed, you know. I also think that I had to uproot some false beliefs and I had to just let go.
Yeah.
You know, and just come to terms with just what life is.
And what your life is.
Right, what my life is.
And was at the time.
Right. We have one of the most influential artists.
One of my favorite artists ever.
Let me tell
all
you,
time.
This particular artist, he has been a superstar, icon, voice of the children of this generation,
exactly.
My kids.
Yep.
He has been their inspiration, their motivation.
Yeah.
And as a mom, I'm so grateful for him because he's been so good to my children. And it's Kid Cudi.
Yes.
And Kid Cudi, he's had...
Hey.
Oh, man!
What's good? What's good?
How
you
doing? I'm so good.
This is dope. Hi. Hi, nice to meet you.
I'm the grandmother.
Yeah. Have a seat.
Okay.
Now, I have to have just a mom fan moment. Can I do that for a second?
Sure. Sure.
It's very rare that people get to meet their idols.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And not only get to meet their idols, but their idols live up to who they have imagined them to be.
Yeah.
And you have been just such a huge inspiration to every child in this house. And then for them to have the opportunity to hang with you, work with you, you know, to have your support as a mom, I just want to thank you.
Oh, that's no problem. I love your kids.
That's just
meant
the
world to them. You have done a phenomenal job, Blaise. You and Will, they are amazing.
Thank you.
I love them.
I have to be honest, I'm 65. I'm not familiar with your music. But do you understand the effect that you have on your fan base? Like Willow and Jaden and Trey even.
Just
crazy about you. It seems like the whole generation.
Oh, the whole generation.
Do you understand that about yourself?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like at a certain point, like when you hear it so much and when it's so apparent, you're like, I get it, and I wanna live up to that, you know? And
well, that's where most of the bad stuff came in, because I was like, I have to live up to be this person.
Exactly.
And I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
And it's pressure.
Like, yeah.
It's pressure.
It's like doing a comedy, but you're miserable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my life was like this show,
mm-hmm.
and I was always supposed to be on.
Yep.
But like when the show was over, I was completely miserable.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, I was not happy when I woke up in the morning.
Hmm.
It started off with something as simple as that.
Yeah.
Just being like, why don't I feel okay?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And not really knowing what that was. I thought maybe it was stress or something. At that point, I was doing an album every year, so I thought maybe I was just overdoing it and I needed to take a break.
Right.
It took me a minute to realize there was something going wrong with me. I thought I was past this in my life,
right.
You know?
So you had experienced it before?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
In 2010, I was dealing with drugs at that time. I kind of got to that place of like, you know what, I'm going to party a little bit to try to like doctor this up.
Yep. I know about that.
And maybe, maybe that'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was before I kind of dealt with being famous and being successful and all that. Because that was weird for me early on.
Wow.
It happened really fast for me. Mm-hmm. And like nobody coached me, no mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just was kind of like in it.
You were thrown out of
it. Yeah. I was a kid.
Right.
You know, 23, 24 is still a kid.
That's it.
You know? And it was a shock for me. And it was drugs that helped me find my footing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, maybe if I try drugs, maybe I'd be okay. We were in the studio to late night, to like the wee hours. And that was the first time I tried cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And from there, it was just like I was on it. So then I got arrested and I got off it quick, cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was behind me. Fast forward to this album coming out 2016. I was editing the videos after we did the video, which was really one of the best experiences.
Yeah, that like, was so fun. That was
directing
really
them
fun.
In the music video was crazy. Because it was like that smile in the video, you know, that was a happy moment before it really got bad.
Yeah,
got
like,
it.
I was happy with my work.
Right.
But when I wasn't at work, it was a nightmare.
Got it.
You know, I'm just trying to keep it together because Kid Cudi, everybody's like hero and this person that you look up to. So I didn't want to let anybody down, you know? But the same old thing. To find my footing, I chose to use drugs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, I'm editing these videos. I'm sneaking off. I'm doing cocaine in the bathroom, getting loaded.
Right.
Drinking every day. Like, back to, like, how I used to do it.
Right.
Like, all day long. And just going to the bathroom and just, like, doing a couple bumps.
So did you feel like your depression was a result of
The using,
or did you feel like you were depressed already and you were using to try to manage your depression?
That.
Yes.
You were using to try to manage the depression that already was there.
Right, right.
Anybody tried to reach out to you and be like, hey, what's up? Like,
not really, because it was a very private thing. I was dealing with my alone. I never, like, did drugs around a bunch of people. Like, there's nobody in this industry that can say, oh, yeah, I was with Cudi and we did some cocaine.
Got it.
I was really good at keeping my troubles hidden.
Even from your friends?
Even from my friends.
I understand that.
Like, I really, like, was good with that.
You can become a master.
Yeah.
I know all about that.
You know what I'm saying? And it's, like, scary because it's when you hear people say, like, well, I had no clue.
Yeah. And then they feel like, I want to be your friend. Like, I want to be there for you. And then it's like, dang, you're going through all of this. And I was so unaware. Like, that kind of makes them feel like, damn, like, I'm not really doing my job as a friend trying to help, you know?
It's sometimes, but I let them know that it's not their fault.
That's
You know, it was me.
Yeah.
You know, I really went out my way to keep what I was going through hidden because I was ashamed.
Wow, that's interesting.
But I think that's why I quit the first time. Because I got arrested, and then everybody knew about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But it wasn't like I quit for the right reasons. I didn't quit because it wasn't good for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was really worried, and I kind of, like, had that moment when I was just like, do I really want to get back on drugs and do cocaine again?
Right.
Like, do I really want to take this journey?
Right.
At 30, 32?
Right.
You know? I woke up one morning, and I was just thinking, like, man, this isn't healthy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to do but get some help and find some place I can go.
Exactly.
And I found a place. My buddy Dennis comes over, and I'm like, I think I need to go to rehab. And he's like, yes. Because he's just like, I'm with you, I'm supportive, you know? So then I was like, okay, the only way I'm going to go to rehab is if I get loaded.
That's typical.
That's the only way.
Really?
Oh, and I found out that's a lot of people go to rehab loaded.
Right. Absolutely, because that's your last opportunity.
Yeah.
If you're serious about it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
So you were loaded on
your
what?
Last shot.
Cocaine. And,
okay.
And liquor.
How long were you there for?
I was there for a month.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did your full time, my man.
Yeah.
So what help do you think you received from the treatment? What
Because it had for you, it had to have been more than just not using.
Yeah.
It was a lot of talking. One thing that I didn't have in my life, you know? Like, I don't...
Like, working through your emotions.
Yeah,
talking about the core of it. Like,
right.
Going,
And I don't think I ever really did that in my life. Like, I never really, like, thought about, well, why am I depressed?
Mm-hmm. Were you and able to reach that core of sadness?
Yeah, because, you know, I found out that it was stuff from years ago when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, from my father dying when I was 11 and, you know, and then my cousin dying and then my favorite uncle dying, like, 3 years in a row. It was just, like, realizing these things and being okay with it, finding peace with it.
Yeah.
You know? Because I don't think I ever really found peace with my father's death.
Yeah.
There was nobody that came to me and asked me if I was all right with that. Mm. It just happened.
So what happened to your dad?
He passed away from cancer.
Okay. Wow. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when I was 11. So my mom and dad divorced when I was 3, but my dad was very much in my life.
Right.
And I'm the youngest of 4, so I was a baby. So yeah, that was really tough for me.
What tools were you given in order to deal with your feelings, whenever those feelings of depression come up? I know for me personally, that's been a big part of my journey, just along the way, just constantly grabbing, okay, this tool works. You know, even sometimes at night, I'll go to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just sit with the ocean. You know, as simple as that might be, it brings me happiness, you know?
Right. Well, that's what some of the things would be like, you know, finding the things that make you happy, doing those things.
Right.
So even something as simple as just like getting outside, seeing things, mm-hmm. you know, and then talking. Like me and my mom have an excellent relationship.
Right.
So like talking to her more, because I didn't really talk to her about what was going on,
right.
you know?
Did you not talk to her because you felt like you were burdening her or?
I just didn't want to worry her, you know?
Cuddy, I so understand that. Yeah. You know? I so exactly. get that. And you're thinking in your mind, I got this. I don't need to bring anybody else into this until eventually you're in the hole so deep, you like, somebody better come help
me. Yeah, I like, call my mama, have her come
That's
down.
The first call. That's yeah. it. Mommy, come get me. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. If you don't come now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blessed to just have that with my mom and have that connection with my family and my siblings.
Right.
You know, and that they were there for me. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that's yeah. so important.
Yeah.
That brings up a big point, Cuddy, is like we have to have trust that people can help.
Yeah.
How long have you been clean now?
It's been 2 years, 2.5 years.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, off of cocaine, yeah.
That's good.
It's a beautiful thing. I think just getting back out into the world, doing what I love again, has really been big for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then also spending time with my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
How old is your daughter?
8.
Wow.
And my daughter is my world.
That's awesome.
Really what helped me beautiful. Snap out of it and get mm-hmm. some help. Because she's everything.
Right.
You know? That's my little homie.
We need those things. I know mm-hmm. for my kids, whew, Lord, they definitely kept me from doing some deep, destructive, self-destructive nice. Things, you know? And they just kept me on the path until I could find the answer for myself. It is important for those of us who are going through a difficult time to find that thing that can just keep our head above water.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And that's sometimes, if that's all we have, that's okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's okay.
What keeps on coming back is this emotional and mental illness, and I feel like I've been seeing so much of that recently, like with Mac Miller passing,
yes.
and that just like took me for a loop because so many young people are just dying because of trying to satiate those emotions with drugs. I'm just seeing it more, and I feel like it's becoming such a huge problem amongst the youth.
Well, I knew Mac, and it was just one of those things that was devastating, and I still have a hard time dealing with it. He was a sweet kid.
You could see
he had a big heart.
Yep.
He was really nice. He was awesome.
So his struggles with addiction was not a secret, right? Like, yours was a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think towards the end, people found out what he was dealing with.
It seems like to me, though, these mental issues that we have, whether it's depression, how it tends to cross over into drugs as a solution,
right.
but that it starts with
emotional...
Yeah, mm-hmm. some yeah, kind mm-hmm. of mental necessity. I have anxiety or, you know, I'm depressed. So this is the thing that keeps me able to do my work, yep. keeps me afloat.
You know, you're anxious, you had a hard day. What do you do when you come home from work? You get a drink.
Right. Yeah. You know, I didn't know Mac Miller, but once again, when I looked at his circumstances, I just felt for him because I knew, I was like, that could have been me easily.
Yeah.
You know, because I was the same way. In my depression, using ecstasy, drinking a whole lot, you know, and smoking a bunch of weed and trying to just find some peace in my mind. It's like I knew
it's dangerous.
I was doing Damn. Ecstasy because I wanted to party. I was doing ecstasy, weed, and a bottle of Cavassier.
A bottle of Cavassier.
Okay. Because I wanted to get lit.
Right.
I wasn't making the connection. And I knew, I was like, and maybe it had to do with because of my history
like
with you.
I don't want to make the connection.
But it's like, I knew I was on a course to addiction. I was very clear about that. I was just like, all right, we going to keep walking this route, baby. We're yeah. going to see where it take you. But just now. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we just all in a whole lot of pain and we just give, it's just like, bonk it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all hurting. Try to, and this makes us feel good, period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's really interesting, though. It's something I have to keep exploring and think about. The one thing that I've learned about the Red Table is that testimony is so much more powerful than even advice. Like,
exactly.
just people to know they're not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Real talk. Guys, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was awesome.
This was a great Red Table.
Definitely.
That was it. But I do want to introduce, there's somebody from our staff, Cuddy.
Hello. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What's up? I'm Micah. Nice to meet you.
Hey.
I got the end of Ghost tattooed on my arm. I hope they understand. I really understand that they don't understand.
Wow.
That's dope.
Yeah, I had to get it, man. It meant a lot to me personally. I went through a lot when I was younger. My brother was killed. And when I was first grade, I think, we went to visit my grandmother. She was in the hospital. And she ended up passing that day. 3 or 4 years later, my cousin was murdered in a drive-by in Southern California. All that happened, and I tried not to care about like people around me or things around me. Just shut everything off, bottle everything in. And I started getting in a lot of trouble, like fighting, trouble with the police. Like, I didn't have any friends at that moment. I just moved. And Man on the Moon 2 had just came out. Every single day, I think, I listened to that album. That album, like, help get it like all out. Awesome. Way more than I think anything else did.
Oh,
thank
bro.
You.
Thank you.
Thank
Give
you
me a hug.
So much. Yeah. Thank you.
Man, right on.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.